Munatiravanachari. Jamunatiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Shyam Sundara Radhe. Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. A reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter, Canto 3, Chapter 24, and this is text 30. Swiyam vakyam ritam kartum. Swiyam vakyam ritam kartum. Avatirno sime grihe. Avatirno sime grihe. Chikirshur Bhagavan Gyanam. Chikirshur Bhagavan Gyanam. Bhaktanam Manavardhanaha. Bhaktanam Manavardhanaha. Please chant. Shriyam Vakyam Ritam Kartum. Avatirno Sime Grihe. Chikirshur Bhagavan Gyanam. Bhaktanam Manavardhana. Swiyam vakyam ritam kartum. Avatirno sime grihe. Chikirshur bhagavan gyanam. Bhaktanam manavardana. Thank you. Swiyam vakyam ritam kartum. Avatirno sime grihe. Chikirshur bhagavan gyanam. Bhaktanam manavardana. Swiyam vakyam ritam kartum. Avatirno sime grihe. Chikirshur Bhagavan Gyanam. Bhaktana Manavardhana Swiyam Vakyam Ritam Kartum Avatirno Sime Grihe Chikirshur Bhagavan Gyanam Bhaktana Manavardhana Swiyam Vakyam Ritam Kartum Avatirno Sime Grihe Chikirshur Bhagavan Gyanam Bhaktana Manavardhana. Word for word and translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Swiyam, your own. Vakyam, words. Ritam, true. Kartum, to make. Avatirna, descended. Asi, you are. Megrihe, in my house. Chikirshu, desirous of disseminating. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Gyanam, knowledge. Bhaktanam, of the devotees. Mana, the honor. Vardhana, who increases. Translation, Kardama Muni said, you, my dear Lord, who are always increasing the honor of your devotees, have descended in my home just to fulfill your word and disseminate the process of real knowledge. Please repeat. Kardama Muni said, you, my dear Lord, who are always increasing the honor of your devotees, have descended in my home just to fulfill your word and disseminate the process of real knowledge. Purport. When the Lord appeared before Kardama Muni after his mature yoga practice, he promised that he would become Kardama's son. He descended as the son of Kardama Muni in order to fulfill that promise. Another purpose of his appearance is Chikirshud Bhagavan Gyanam, to distribute knowledge. Therefore, he is called Bhaktanam Manavardhanaha, he who increases the honor of his devotees. By distributing Sankhya, he would increase the honor of the devotees. Therefore, Sankhya philosophy is not dry mental speculation. Sankhya philosophy means devotional service. How could the honor of the devotees be increased by Sankhya? How could the honor of the devotees be increased unless Sankhya were meant for devotional service? Devotees are not interested in speculative knowledge. Therefore, the Sankhya enunciated by Kapila Muni is meant to establish one firmly in devotional service. Real knowledge and real liberation is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Tirtha Swami Tinamine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paschatele Shatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gauda Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So there were many, it's a short purport, but I found that there was actually a lot that could be said here. But the first thing that kind, there's a few things I wanted to talk about. One is the importance of understanding the philosophy. That was the first thing that kind of came to me, because I was reading and seeing that, okay, this verse is about Sankhya philosophy, and this is what we're going to be hearing more and more about. And I was thinking that myself, I'm not really so familiar, and I'm not very philosophically inclined. And so to speak on Sankhya philosophy is like, you know, for me would be, it's challenging. But I was thinking that it's, it's how important it is that we, or me, to, that we push ourselves past what is outside of our comfort zones. Because if I only do what I'm inclined to and what I like, then how will I transcend what, you know, the, if I'm only doing the things that this body is interested in, how will I transcend the body? I've been watching actually the series on the 60th anniversary memories of 26 Second Avenue, memories being shared by so many devotees there. And so I was hearing from Jayadwaita Swami, and he shared two stories that really kind of showed the importance of understanding the philosophy. One was that he was talking about a time when Prabhupada had come, was at the airport, and all the devotees went to greet him there. And there were many devotees who were, as we've heard, and some of you may have experienced, their devotees were crying and really just having all these symptoms sort of ecstasy. And he said that Satsarupa Maharaj kind of leaned over to him and said, "Wow, I'm not feeling anything." And he just shared that how Prabhupada had said that first to cry, first to dry, meaning that it's not necessarily that, you know, just because someone is exhibiting that, it doesn't necessarily mean that that they're actually experiencing something that's going to carry them long term. And he noted, Jayadwaita Maharaj, that there were many devotees there that day, and they were maybe having these experiences, but so many years later, many are gone, unfortunately, at least temporarily. So it's something to look out for. Another example was, he told a story of this Bhakta Eddie, who was coming around and was actually doing very nice seva for Srila Prabhupada. And when he asked Srila Prabhupada for initiation, and Prabhupada told him that he had to learn more first about the philosophy. And I thought that was interesting, because I had the understanding that, you know, in those days, devotees got initiated very easily. And probably, yes, there was a shorter period of time because of wait time, because the movement was getting started, and Prabhupada was needing, you know, lots of help and like that. But at the same time, he did, Srila Prabhupada, have the expectation that, you know, that the devotees were supposed to know the philosophy. And he told that, Prabhupada told Bhakta Eddie that if you come on sentiment, you will leave on sentiment. And unfortunately, he did after some time. Yeah, so I was I took some time to study up basically on the Sankhya philosophy. So I'm begging for the blessings of all the devotees who are more senior and intelligent and experienced than myself in Krishna consciousness, that I can speak on the topic in a way that I'm really hoping to inspire, especially people who feel themselves to not be very philosophically inclined. So one thing is that this Sankhya philosophy it's the study set forth, it's the philosophy started, of course, by Kapila Muni, and it's explaining very much the 24 elements, the elements in them that make up the material world, and of course the position of the soul, the jiva, and most importantly the position of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and how he interacts with those elements and those energies. There are, and the 24 elements, there's the, let's see, there's the five, and five. There's the karmendriyas, the gyanendriyas, the tanmatras, and the mahabhutas. So there's five each of those. It's basically the senses and the working senses, and the excretions of the body and procreation, all of that is there. And then there's the mind, intelligence, and the ego. And the false ego is what keeps us kind of wrapped up and entangled in this material world and thinking that this body is who I am and I am, you know, the Lord of all that I survey. And then that's 23, and then the 24th is the Mahatattva, which Prabhupada, was the definition he gave was that it's the original stock of all the material stuff, basically. He didn't say stuff, but yeah. So those are the 24 elements. And actually, I was listening to a class where he started to speak about them, and then he was asking the devotees to list and say what they are. Because if someone asks you, what are those 24 elements, what will you say? So you have to be able to explain these things, because ultimately, first we have to convince ourselves, but then we want to be able to share with others. And even if we may not have very deep knowledge about something, because of course some devotees are more inclined and they'll know a lot, but everyone has to know at least the basics. It is important. What else did I want to say? Oh, and also just a point about, I was thinking, well, I don't know so much, but here I am, you know, sitting and giving class. But when I was blessed with second initiation, we were given the understanding that when one has second initiation, it means that we're making a deeper commitment to serving the community. And one way, of course, is by the deity seva, because the pujari, what they do for the deities is actually they're representing everyone in the community. And then the other way is by speaking the philosophy, speaking, giving class and teaching and like that. So again, that means trying to push myself. Okay, another important part about Sankhya philosophy is that explains basically how our inner self is related to the material energy and the role that Krishna plays in manipulating that those energies. Another point that comes up in the purport is how Krishna he descends to, well, let's see, what was the exact term was? Kardama Muni says, you have descended in my house, in my home, just to fulfill your word and disseminate the process of real knowledge. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says, he's increasing the honor of the devotees. So I was thinking how Srila, Krishna, he does that. He comes, even though he can do everything himself, he comes, he likes for his devotees to get the credit for performing different activities. Just like Lord Chaitanya could have done everything himself. He could have spread the movement on his own. But he allowed, you know, when things kind of fell to the wayside as far as the Vaishnava practices, he allowed Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to be the person to revive everything and bring Krishna consciousness back into practice the way that it's supposed to be. He allowed Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over India and to use so many innovative ways to do that. And then he allowed Srila Prabhupada to learn from his spiritual master so many of these innovations and bring that to the West and spread it to the West. And spread it all over the world. So I was going to ask, before we move on, if you could, if you wanted to maybe share some ways that Krishna increases the honor of his devotees. Some ways that Krishna increases the honor of his devotees. Madhumati Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought about how...
It's on? Yeah.
Okay. How he could have given the love, but he waited for Narottam Das Thakur to give the love to everybody. Mm-hmm. Lord Chaitanya himself was there, so that's one.
Okay, thank you. We have over here.
He established a competition in elements of our daily service, just like Sankirtan. There was always competition and who would get the honor. In L.A. they had the Transcendental Tulsi Leaf honor for the top book distributor. And so that's one way, by creating competition amongst his devotees, challenging Tamal Krishna Maharaj to see if he can match the book distribution of Vidananda in Brazil and other places.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes.
So he says, if I were to speak about Dharma, it would not add to my glory. So I left this upon you. And then he says, but I am so filled with arrows I could barely speak.
For
I guess
Bhishma
y'all
Day.
Are clicking who's speaking, right? So he says, I can barely speak. And then he says, well, now I would empower you to speak. So that was when Bhishma was in the bed of arrows, and Yudhishthira need to hear about Dharma. And so Bhishma says, Krishna, why don't you speak? You know more about Dharma than everyone. And then Krishna says, if I were to speak, it would not add to my glory. So I want your glory. I want you to be glorified and be remembered as long as the earth exists.
Yes. Thank you. Anyone else?
Prahlad Maharaj, one of the greatest examples of that. And I remember when we went and watched the movie, it was amazing how they were torturing him and he was forgiving them and he was trying to help them. And by seeing that example of Prahlad Maharaj, just like you said, he doesn't have any troubles for himself, but he worries about the others that have made this artificial life that we have now. And just by hearing about Prahlad Maharaj, you can see the glories of Vaishnavas.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Also Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was glorified. Lord Chaitanya himself took him in the hands to carry him to show example how glorious he is. Even though he was simple Muslim boy.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so again, it's very important. He comes and, or in different ways, he does things to glorify his devotees. And so the last thing that I just wanted to share, because again, in terms of becoming familiar with the philosophy and pushing oneself. So one thing is that a person might feel themselves not so inclined to reading, but it's very nice to gather with a group of others. Sometimes it's easier because of course there are those who can just read philosophical books and it's very enlivening for them. But others struggle a little. So then what can be done is that we read in groups and kind of support each other. So I'm very fortunate to be reading, well, with Mother Nanda, we're reading Jiva Dharma. And so this is such a wonderful book. I tried to read it by myself in the beginning and it was just like taking a long time. But I'm really finding it so fascinating because this is by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he's basically, it's from what I've read up to now, it's basically inquiry. Tadvidhi panipratena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshina. There's the devotees who are inquiring from the spiritual master, and they're asking so many questions about the philosophy, and in this case it's a devotee named Raghunath Das Babaji, not the Acharya, but another Raghunath Das Babaji, and he's answering so many questions very nicely, and I just wanted to share a little piece because sometimes I find for myself, I may sometimes feel intimidated. It might be something that I want to know, but I don't ask because for whatever reason. But I really appreciate how here this is Vrajanath, and he's just asking, and he's asking whatever he needs to know. And even though, if he's not fully satisfied with the answer, he continues to ask. However, he does it in a very respectful way, because as it says in the verse, we have to inquire submissively. So he's doing that. So I just wanted to share a little piece because here he's inquiring why devotees suffer. And that comes up quite a bit in the classes that we have. So I just wanted to share some of that. Vrajanath says, Prabhu, why do some jivas become absorbed in Maya from the junction point of being situated in tatastha nature? Why do some ascend to the spiritual world? So he wants to know basically why devotees are inclined like that to become, to get absorbed in Maya. And basically, Raghunath Das Babaji explains that how we have we have free will because Krishna has free will. And so we have free will as well, but just to a smaller degree, as Prabhupada says, the minute independence. And we have that tendency to, you know, we use it incorrectly. Krishna is giving us an opportunity with that free will. He's given us an opportunity. We can use that in his service and elevate and become elevated to where we can become part of his pastimes. Rajanath asks, why does the jiva experience suffering just for the Lord's pastime? So it's kind of a question that one would ask. Well, why do we have to go through all of that? Why do we need to suffer? Why can't Krishna just bring us there? And he gives, Raghunath Das Babaji says, he gives the example of gold and how when gold is impure, I'll just read it. If one heats impure gold and beats it, one obtains pure gold. Similarly, when the jiva is contaminated with an aversion to Krishna and enjoys Maya, he is beaten in the arena of the material world and becomes purified. So the suffering of the averse jiva ultimately gives happiness and is arrangement of mercy. So again, there's that verse, Tatenu Kampan Susamikshamano, where we should be seeing when the troubles come, we need to try to see that as Krishna's mercy. So then Rajanath says, even if the suffering of the jiva in a state of bondage finally produces auspiciousness in the present state, it gives great suffering. Why does Krishna not arrange for some other path without giving suffering since he's full of all shakti? So Krishna can do anything. Again, why do we have to take this path of suffering? And Babaji says, Krishna's pastimes are of many types and variegated. This is one type of variegated pastime. When the independent Lord performs all types of pastimes, why can this type of pastime not take place? If the Lord has all types of variety, no type of pastime should be rejected. He's basically explaining this. We can see ourselves as part of Krishna's pastimes. It's another type of pastime, not the sweet ones, with the gopis and like that, but it's Krishna's pastime. He has all different kinds. So then he says, so why do you call it suffering? Babaji says, the suffering the jiva undergoes in order to nourish Krishna's pastimes is full of happiness. The jiva, with his independent desire, rejecting the joyful portion of Krishna's pastimes, accepts suffering generated by absorption in Maya. If there is some fault in this, it is jiva's fault. Krishna has no fault at all. And then just the last little part. What is the harm if Krishna does not give the jiva independent desire? Krishna is omniscient. He knows that if he gives the jiva independence, he will suffer. So why does Krishna give us this free will if he knows we're going to misuse it? What's that about? And Babaji says, independence is a special gem. The Lord does not give this jewel to any object in the material world. Thus, these material objects are insignificant and despicable. If the jiva had not been given independence, the jiva would be insignificant and despicable like material objects. So then it goes on. But basically, it's a very special thing to have this free will. It's actually a boon from Krishna. So the thing is, if we use it wisely, then we make so much advancement and we can go back to Krishna. And if we misuse it, then we stay as part of Krishna's the lower pastimes, like that. Okay. So, let's see. Yeah, and then just the last part of the purport. Real knowledge and real liberation is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service. So this is our purpose. It's important, actually, that we make goals. We see that this is the purpose of our life, because I think it's easy to get kind of sidetracked. The purpose of my life is, you know, I'm going to school, I want to get my degree, or I want this thing, I want that thing, and all those things are important and can be used in Krishna's service. But it's important to remember that the actual purpose is I want to please Krishna so that I can reconnect with him fully. So we want to kind of check in regularly to see how is that going? What am I doing? What did I do today to connect myself with Krishna to reach that ultimate goal? What will I do tomorrow? How far have I come? Am I advancing? Where was I before? Where am I now? Looking at specific areas where we know that we're feeling challenged. You know, did I become less angry? You know, when someone said something that I didn't like. So practical ways that we can look at ourselves and see how much how our practice is and how much we're advancing from that practice. Okay, and I will read the verse again. Kardama Muni said, "You, my dear Lord, who are always increasing the honor of your devotees, have descended in my home just to fulfill your word and disseminate the process of real knowledge." If anyone wants to make any comments or ask anything.
You're mentioning about pranipatena pariprasnina, you know, mm-hmm. inquiring submissively. Mm-hmm. And rendering service. So when one's reading and hearing the pastimes of the Lord, that's also considered service. But sometimes we think that maybe we don't put enough emphasis on hearing, mm-hmm. the hearing mm-hmm. the part. Of course, hearing and chanting is service, but then if somebody's just doing that and not doing, like, you know, maybe cutting the grass or cooking or doing deity service or going out in sankirtan, then we think that, you know, they're maybe trying to, you know, avoid doing something. Mm-hmm. So how do we, like, distinguish that? I know that sometimes one devotee in Mayapur wanted to just go in a tree and chant, but I guess one, after some time, the mind overpowers them and they go away. So mm-hmm. I guess there needs to be a certain balance.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the 9 processes of devotional service. So I see for myself, I try to involve myself in all of them as much as possible, because I'm coming from, you know, very fallen place. Let's put it that way. So I feel like I need to do as much as possible. And if I only focus on the things that I like for me, there's always music in my head. All these songs that I know from many years back, unfortunately, they're still there. So, you know, I could say, well, I'm going to write songs for Krishna, but if I'm not hearing and I'm not chanting and reading, what will I say about Krishna? I have to know something. If I am just, you know, doing physical work, that's important too, to do the physical work for Krishna. But if I only do that, I might forget who I'm doing these things for. You know, maybe I'm cleaning the floor, but I'm forgetting that I have to hear about Krishna, so I know who am I cleaning this floor for. And also, I'm trying to develop a relationship with Krishna, so I need to know about him. So I would say, yeah, we need to try to do, of course, the ones that we're inclined to, but as many as possible as far as the processes of devotional service. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for a nice class. When coming back to Shankar philosophy, when Lord Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, he said some analyze the elements as 8, some as 15, 23. He said that is okay. I mean, you know, the idea is that they are analyzing, they're searching for the truth. But once they arrive at the, you know, the soul and super soul, you know, then that's the ultimate. So, so this is the point on the Shankar, you know, because I think this was in the Uddhava Gita. And also it was in part of the Srimad Bhagavatam also has been explained. Same thing about, so if we cannot arrive at 24 elements, 23 and the soul and The way I was analyzing it, I mean, you said it, but I think it's the same thing. 15 aspects of the senses, working senses, knowledge, acquiring senses, 15. The 5 grass element, the 3 subtle, it's 23. Then the super soul, the soul, like that. I mean, you could even go even beyond that. If you include the modes of material nature.
Yeah. Thank you.
How many are there? Just in the class today, I heard 25, 24, 23. How many are there?
Well, for where I read it was 24, but I don't know. Others can say differently.
28 too.
Categories. I mean, you can. That's just how they organize it within that context. You know, it's whatever is going on is going on. We put names on it.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Marumati Prabhu.
Early in the class, you were mentioning about how hesitancy to read the Sankhya philosophy for some of us, and I'm in the same category. And Pushkar Prabhu had mentioned in his class when he gave last time that how he read through the Sankhya, the chapters of that Kapila Muni is going to say. So I felt inspired, and I thought when we went for our road trip, I said, okay, I'm just going to like do it, you know, I'm going to be sitting in the car. So I read all the translations of it, at least, and some purports. Part of it I couldn't understand, but I just read it. And I was remembering that how I had attended some Sanskrit classes, etc., and I asked a teacher, like, I can't really understand this. And she told me, don't worry, you don't understand. Just by repeatedly reading that section, you would get something, and that's what I wanted to express. That I think that is so true, that even if you don't understand things, you know, we just so at least the first time when I was reading on that road trip, I was like, okay, this is a little too boring for me and a little too hard for me. It's not something I want to read, but let me just do the jagya. And I know if I go back and read it again, then I know it will make a little more sense mm-hmm. and a little more sense and whatever. So mm-hmm. Krishna just helps. So
yeah, so yeah.
Thank you again for encouraging.
Yeah, that's the surrender. You know, maybe it doesn't appeal immediately, but I want to do it to please Krishna, to please my spiritual master, and then the reward will come. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
I just want to touch on another aspect quickly. Uh-huh. You were talking about the suffering of the jivas. Mm-hmm. So. Yesterday, the other day, a ship turned over in Guyana. And oh. There was like 180 people, like 100 perished. So one lady was saying she had 7 children with her. Mm. And when the ship turned over suddenly, so she tried to grab the baby, was like a year. And somehow a box or something squeezed and she could, and she had to try to save her life. And she dived, you know, and all 7 of her kids perished. Another guy says 8 of them went and only he and one of his son came back, his wife and all the rest of his kids perished. You know. Oh. Another girl said she had a baby with her and she came up and a guy was holding something and the guy gave her to hold it and he went down. As soon as he gave her that thing to hold, he went down in the ocean and saved her. She was just 18 years with a baby. So, you know, when, I mean, you were talking about the suffering of the thing and so many children, you know, suffered there really, I mean, unbearable. Something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's part of the process. I mean, yeah, there's the purification process. It's very sad. It's very sad. But then at the same time, we know that there's more beyond that. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.